Welcome, friends, to a new interview, Cuéntame USA with Moncho Camano. Today, we're staying in North America, up north. Today, I'm speaking with Angelina Hunter. She's the front woman of a great blues band that I just found out about. She's the front woman of this trio. It's called Angelina Hunter Trio, A-H-T. Sounds good to me. They play a fusion of blues rock, a lot of soul and gospel, some gospel and jazz, a little bit of everything. It's like cooking, you know, a little bit spice here, a little bit there, and you make a nice meal, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
So their latest album they released is called Let Us Light, and I heard it many times since the first time I heard about the band. I said, I listened to both albums and the EPs, everything. So today we got Angelina Hunter. She's waiting for me because I'm talking and talking and not saying much. So I got Angelina over there in, I don't know if it's in Ottawa where she is, or I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just outside of Ottawa, actually. I'm on the Quebec side, the other side of the river, but super close.
Super close to the capital. A friend of mine is... He thought Toronto was the capital. I said, what are you talking about? It's not Toronto. It's Ottawa.
Of Ontario. So it's a capital. Yeah.
So we'll start with the interview. I want to know about what happened yesterday, because I think they played yesterday. They play at the Rainbow Bistro. I've never been there, but I saw some photos.
It's an awesome place. They've been around they're coming on their 40th anniversary now. And I've been playing at the Rainbow since I was 13. Hmm. So it's kind of, you know, it means a lot to me, that place. And it's really, really great. And as many bars and live music venues during COVID, they really, really struggled and they almost had to close. And we ended up actually playing the last show with the bow, we called it. Wow. But they got some last minute angel investors. And so they redid the whole sound system in the same, and it was a really great show. It was super fun.
So you had a blast yesterday. You had fun.
Yeah, we had a great time because we were very excited and we were celebrating.
That's wonderful.
Yes, we are celebrating. We just found out we were nominated for New Group of the Year, the Maple Blues Awards.
I read that yesterday. That's what happens when you start following the band. You know things that I had no idea. So I know they got something.
Awesome.
So it's a pleasure having you today, Angelina. Like I said, I know about the band not that long ago, and I don't even know how I found out about your band, but I know it came all of a sudden. I don't know where. I don't know if it was YouTube, I don't know if it was Spotify. I don't know. I just heard a song and I say, who are these people? I'm like, blues. I like blues. We got to get in touch with this.
That's great. Thank you.
Sure. Are you at your personal studio at home right now? I see, what is that, upright bass over there? I don't know.
Yeah. We have a whole bunch of instruments in our house. So they're kind of spread out throughout the house, depending on where, but. Yeah, so I'm actually in the room where I just listen to music in this room. I have a record player, and we have some pretty fun albums that I like to try to collect, like the really good classic albums, and listen to them in here. I like listening to them from beginning to end. You know, it has that whole, feel like you're part of the music, you know?
It's like me. So we'll talk about those vinyl records, find out what she has over there. Tell me about you're young, you're not an old person, but when you started playing guitar, was that your first instrument that you tried, or you play piano? How did you start as a young child, I guess?
Yeah, so I started with the guitar. When I turned 10, my parents asked me what I wanted for my birthday. And for some reason, I really wanted guitar lessons. And they said, Ange, you've never even seen a guitar before. You don't even have a guitar. How are you going to do guitar lessons? I said, I don't know, but I really want to. So my dad ended up borrowing a guitar from one of his friends to see if I'd like it. And I absolutely loved it. So I started playing and I never looked back. Great.
So who do you see like that caught your attention? Some artist, some blues or guitar or rock artist that was like the spark, or any musicians?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few. So I grew up with music in my house all the time. So, you know, like I have very musical siblings, but my parents, well, they play the radio and they played a lot. There was always music, and it was classic rock that was usually playing. And I remember when I was a little kid, I used to get in trouble because I'd stand up on the coffee table in the living room. And when the music was cranked, and I really liked Pink Floyd, that was my favorite. Hmm. And I remember, you know, the song Money by Pink Floyd.
Yeah, sure.
I'd sing that guitar solo. I was like six. So I didn't know any of the words to the song, but I knew every single note of the solo, and I'd pretend like I was playing. And my mom would be like, get off the table.
That's so funny.
So yeah. So I guess that is a big influence. I always really loved Eric Clapton too.
Okay.
And then when I found
like Cream before Cream, or I mean during Cream or after?
After actually, after. He did the Nothing But the Blues album.
Okay.
And I was able to go see that in Montreal, and it was awesome. And I was really, really close, so it was a life changing experience. Like I was like, oh yes, this is exactly that. Like, give you that feeling, you know. And it was an awesome concert. I got a T-shirt from that concert, and I wore it until it was supposed to be black, but I wore it till it got brown, you know,
all
faded
man.
From the sun.
You know, talking about that, you mentioned Stevie Ray Vaughan. I had a T-shirt when I saw him. I saw him only once before. So I had the T-shirt, and then I wore it so many times I got rid of it. And then I thought, after he, you know, passed away, I was like, oh, I was shit. I thought I don't have the T-shirt again. You know, I threw it.
Yeah, should have kept it, eh?
Yeah, you know. So I know Stevie Ray Vaughan was one of my favorites. To tell you the truth, I never knew about him until David Bowie's Let's Dance record, which was 1983, and he played guitar. I didn't know who he was, the guitar player of the record. I'm like, oh, Stevie Ray Vaughan, who's this Stevie Ray Vaughan guy? And that's when I found out, you know, who he was, and I started following him and his brother also. So, you know, I know a little bit.
Oh, I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. I actually saw a really cool quote that he had said. I guess he said, I don't play with finesse. He said, I play like a guy who's trying to escape from jail. And it's true, right? Because it's just got so much power and pizzazz to it.
Yeah, he got me into blues again after I started listening to his records. And, you know, and then I was following blues for a while. I went to see Mason Ruffner. I don't even know if you remember, like in the 80s. He was a good, he's still alive. He's not famous anymore, but he had a great record. And I was following because of that. So I guess that's why you got into music, I guess, from listening to all your the guitar heroes.
Exactly. One of them, I remember my guitar teacher, I had this book and I really wanted to learn Lenny by Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was like, this is a really hard song. And I said, I know, I'll just do it piece by piece by piece. And it was one of the first Stevie Ray songs that I ended up playing. And I still, you know, I'll pull it out every now and then at a show because it's such a beautiful instrumental piece. So it's still one of my favorites for sure, for sure.
So you're talking about your family there. You're listening to a lot of music and radio. Was there anybody in your family that had talent for music besides you, like played any instruments?
Well, there's a lot of musicians in my family. Like if you go to a campfire and if we're all together, there's always at least 6 to 10 guitars and everyone's just playing and we sing along in harmony and whatnot. So my cousins and my uncles and, you know, my siblings, like I mentioned, play. My mom played the accordion a lot when I was growing up.
Wow.
So she jammed with us with her accordion. So, yeah.
So you play with your brother. Your brother also plays music?
Yes.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I was doing some research. You played in a band with him before when you started?
Yeah. So we played in a band called Bluestone. And we started doing this when we were teenagers. We were both teenagers. And there was this Blues in the Schools program here in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a battle of the bands, I guess, but for blues. And whoever would win got to open up the Ottawa Blues Fest. Okay. And so it was super awesome because we got to play at the Blues Festival and we ended up developing that band. And it became our full-time job. It was our business, right? So we toured with Bluestone for, I don't know, 15 years. We must have done, we did Canada 5 or 6 times. We do the East Coast a couple more times often because it's shorter drives than driving all the way out through the prairies. But yeah, so we did a lot. We did 6 albums with Bluestone.
Oh, really? I got to get it, find out about that.
I'll send you some. I'll send you some.
Yeah, that would be great. So that's why you have so much experience playing guitar, because you play really well. So it's not a couple days and you are a great guitar player. It took a while, right? You did a lot of playing, a lot, many years, decades.
Oh yeah. Lots and lots and lots of playing. And my brother is a fantastic guitarist. So we'd always do dueling guitar solos, or we'd do harmonized guitar lines and whatnot. And we played a lot off each other. So it was really fun to be able, like, it helped me learn a lot too, because he's so good.
Yeah. I mean, singing and playing guitar is, I mean, so well, it's not easy. Like, you could play guitar, but also sing well. It's not that easy, you know? It seems to me like it's hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got tricked into singing when I was about 15, and everyone used to say, "Ange, when you're playing guitar, it's great, but you need to sing." And I really, really, really didn't want to sing because I had a really high voice. And I was like, I don't really like my voice. I don't want to. So my dad brought me to a show. It was this amazing singer. Her name is Francine Laroche. And she's did like soul music, like Motown soul. And my dad looked at me and said, "If you could sing like her, would you sing?" Said, "Of course I would. Of course I would. If I could sing like that, I would sing." He's like, "Good. Because you have a lesson on Tuesday." Wow. And I said, no, I don't want to go to a lesson." He's like, "Fine. You don't have to go to your lesson on Tuesday." But then Tuesday showed up and ding dong. And she showed up to my house with her piano.
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh, you tricked me." But I ended up loving it. So
yeah.
I'm glad that he tricked me into it.
You got a very powerful voice. I mean, and I don't know. Like I said, it's not that easy. She's like B.B. King. He sings and then plays guitar, and then he sings and plays guitar. He's not doing both things at the same time. So, and he's a great guitar player, but singing and playing, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. So,
I had to put my loud voice to good use, because my nickname as a kid was "Shut Up, Angie," because I'm very, very loud. My voice carries. It always had. So at least when I'm singing, people don't tend to mind as much that I'm so loud.
You know? I wouldn't be around you when you're angry, I think.
I'm never angry. Yeah, I'm no, always happy.
So tell me about the trio. You got Adam Bell as a bass player. He looks very heavy metal to me. He looks to me. If I saw him by himself, I had no idea he'd be playing in a, you know, blues rock and stuff. But, you know, he's very different, you know.
Absolutely. We call him Angry Jesus because he kind of looks like Angry Jesus. But the thing is, he's the most sweet, nicest guy, but he's just got that heavy metal attitude. He grew up loving that, and bands like Opeth and like the progressive kind of music. He has many different influences. That definitely influences his style, musical tastes vary. He's one of the best trumpet players I have ever heard in my entire life.
Really?
Just like Miles Davis. Wow. I met him in university, and that was his instrument. And so now he's playing the bass. So he pulls from all of these different styles. So even though he looks a little bit like a metal, like a heavy metal guy,
even death
his
metal,
style
like,
is very
yeah,
fast.
Yeah. Hmm. And yeah. And then you got Sandy Hunter, which is the drums, but it's related to you, I think, somehow.
he's my husband. Yeah. They always tell you not to date the drummer, but he was just too cute. I had no choice.
He looks good to me. I don't mean like it's not attractive to me, but he looks good to me.
So he's an excellent drummer. Actually, the three of us all met studying music in university.
Oh, that's fun. So when did you always play the Fender, or you tried different guitars before you? Because it's the one that you use the most. I don't know.
Yeah, I've always been a Strat girl. I love other guitars. I mean, I really, really love the sound of a Gibson SG. And I have one, and it's awesome. but it's not really made for someone of my physique. So like for women, the way that the strap goes,
okay,
it like really squishes my boobs. So it's really uncomfortable. So it's a little bit awkward to play. And then the neck is in the wrong spot. So,
makes sense.
I tend to not play it as much as I'd like. I love Les Paul. So my brother, Ben, did I even mention his name is Ben Russell?
No, you did
my
not.
My brother. Yes. So Ben Russell, check him out. He's super awesome. But so he plays a Les Paul and it's an gorgeous instrument and the sustain is awesome. But again, it's really heavy.
So
playing two or three songs in a row, great. But a whole set, oh man, it's tough on the old shoulder, you know? I'm looking at getting something that has like a Floyd Rose whammy on it so that I can like whammy the crap out of it, you know?
That would be fun.
So I'm looking into getting a new one of those, like maybe a Kramer or something like that. But yeah, I've always been a Strat girl.
You look cool with it, I guess. With the hair, red hair and red shoes and stuff. Everything red looks great.
Yeah, the red guitar, there you go. It's got to match. Some girls like to match their purse.
Yeah.
I just like to match my guitar.
Yeah. It's cool. Talking about the subjects regarding your music compositions, what could you say are the main subjects, your type of subjects that you try to address on your songs?
It's a good question. They kind of vary, but I guess the main sort of thing that we try to convey when we're doing music is like my favorite thing about going to see music. Like I love going to festivals and I love feeling that groove. You know, when you get a band that really has an awesome groove and you're just in that zone and it just makes you feel good. I want our music to make people feel good. You know, like foster like kindness and, you know, everything doesn't have to be dark and shady and shadowy because there's enough of that already in the world. So it's kind of like finding the fun aspects of life and the positive side of things. And sometimes it's fun little stories like our song about Crispy Bill.
Yeah, I heard that song. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. I like it.
Thanks.
Much.
I love that song. It's
very
super
much.
Fun.
Yeah.
And when we wrote this song, I wrote the song at the cottage and I showed Sandy, drummer, my husband, and he's like, I don't know, Ange. I don't think this one's going to fly. I'm like, no, I can hear the whole thing. It's going to be awesome. I could hear the groove of it and everything. But he also didn't really like it because I wrote the song about the pesky raccoon that's always grinding his gears and he likes to like tease Sandy and he'll sit right under his chair where I'm sitting there playing guitar at the campfire and he'll hide right under him because he knows he hates that raccoon. So he said, you know what, if I catch that raccoon one of these days, I'm going to throw him in the fire and I'm going to call him Crispy Bill. So I wrote this Crispy Bill song, not that we ever would actually do that, but it's just kind of fun.
Yes.
So it's always fun things, you know, it's lighthearted and try as much as we can to make it a good time. I guess there are songs like our ballad, like the new ballad, The Sun Never Sets.
The Sun Never Sets, yes, from the new album.
Yes, yeah, so that's the blues ballad of this album. And the first one, it was Getting Old Child, and it's kind of got that soulful kind of thing. And this Sun Never Sets in the same kind of zone as that. But that one's about, you know, like you said, I've been playing music for so long and touring and playing all the shows and I love it. And that's what it's about for me is playing the music. And the song, The Sun Never Sets on a Rolling Stone, means if you keep going, you know, it'll never be over. You can just keep doing it. It doesn't matter how old you get. You can still keep playing and still follow your dreams. Right.
Yeah.
And so many people are afraid to follow their dreams. So why not give it a try? It's fun.
Yeah. You know? I saw a couple of your videos live. It seems you look very happy doing those shows. I mean, it seems like the show is not about you so much. It's about giving the people, you know, to have fun, just to, you know, have a good time. Because they don't give a fuck if you have problems. You know, they just want to have a good time. Whatever's on your mind, they don't care about you in your mind. You just want to hear good music. That's it. They don't care about your things, your thoughts and stuff.
I appreciate you saying that because that's really awesome to hear that. But that's the thing. When I go to see music, it's the moments that I remember, like the parts that I said, oh, that was so great. I'm going to remember that. When that person did this thing on stage, it just made me feel so good. And those are the things that you take away with you. right?
Right.
So those are the kinds of things that we try to share, you know, like sharing the music. It's kind of a give and take with the audience, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're also very talkative. You're not like shy. When you talk between songs, you try to explain about what are they about and stuff. You're not like, you know, hiding. You cannot hide because it's a trio. So it's a very sensitive setup, I guess. There's not much room to hide. You're right in front, you know?
Yeah. There really isn't, you know, the guys will chirp in sometimes too, and we'll chat if I have to tune or whatnot. But again, remember I mentioned my nickname was Shut Up Angie. So I usually have a lot to say, but in my band, when we played with the band Bluestone, my brother was the lead guy because he's the one who studied theater and he's the showman. He's Mr. Charisma. Right. So when we started doing the trio, all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay. So now I have to be the guy. All right. I guess I'll just try and see if I feel comfortable. And I think the more I just try to be myself, and even if I say something ridiculous or if I'm a little bit too hyper, well, that's how I am. I'm pretty hyper. So I might as well just be who I am.
Yeah,
so,
I like it. When you compose, do you do a lot of, Do you do a lot of strumming, or you're more like a melody type of when you play guitar? Like when you compose, it's like, I don't know.
It's kind of half and half. Yeah. With this album, especially, actually with most of the songs that we do, there's always a riff, right? Like a cool, catchy, like blues riff of some kind, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one part of it. And then the other part will be the chord progression and how it flows. And then so it'll be the chords that are underneath that'll support like a really nice soaring, like high, like bluesy, like blah, kind of line on top, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really molding both together. And for the most part, the songs always have those two components that we kind of go back and forth with.
And talking about lyrics, the three of you are the collaborators, or one writes more than the other, or more or less the three of you?
Yeah, it really is the three of us. Yeah. So we'll each of us will come up, you know, with ideas. You know, sometimes Adam will have a really cool riff that he's got in mind, and he'll bring it to the band and we'll test it out and it'll kind of shift and we'll put it all together. Hmm. Or, you know, I'll have this melody or this song idea and I'll bring like the beginning, but I always try to keep it short. I don't try to develop it too much on my own, because if I do, it kind of locks me in, because once I've learned it, let's say from beginning to end, it's hard to change it afterwards. But it's always better when I do it with the boys, because like I said, Adam has all of his influences and they're vast. Like he's big into jazz, and like you said, the progressive intricate music, and the just straight up rock and roll. And like Sandy's the groove guy, right? He's into all this like really kind of funky stuff, and he loves the James Brown and, you know, like Citizen Cope and these like cool grooves. And man, there's so many drummers he's always talking about. So he brings that aspect. And without those two, my songs don't have the same groove. Like we call it the AHT sound. And it really is when it's the three of us that collaborate together.
That's cool. You put out your first album, is called Roll With It. I was trying to compare it with Let Us Light, but it's not needed. You don't need to compare anything. But the new album is a little more, I don't know, gritty, edgy, a little more, no? Or more heavy, could you say?
Yeah.
Some of the songs, I guess.
I think maybe the riffs.
Back in 73, that riff, that guitar riff and the drums, that's one of my favorites.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I like that one. That one's, it's fun. You know, it's that idea of, you know, going back and what about my old pals that I haven't talked to in a long time. Right. And, you kind of want to, you know, people will Facebook creep them, or they'll want to give them a call, especially, you know, when we were in lockdown and we just, we'll reach out to people, but sometimes you're kind of like a little bit too shy, or you're embarrassed. Like, what if they don't want to talk? But you're kind of like, you wonder, everybody kind of does. Right. So it's that idea of like back in 73 and we did all these fun things, but it's that riff. And I think that's what it is. So the first album had the riffs, but the tempos were more like medium. They're all like medium, kind of chilling. Okay. There was a lot of 6/8 and like that cool group, right? Whereas this one's a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more like, yeah, let's go have a good time. And then there's a few of the slower ballads, but for the most part, the energy is a little bit higher.
Yeah, I will say that. But the Getting Old Child from the first album was the most, I guess, very important song for you guys. Like it lift you up more like a band. I don't know. It's the song that I think it's the first one I heard about I don't remember. I think the first song I ever heard of your band was that one.
It was like a winner. Yeah, and you know what? It's many people's favorite. We always toss it into the sets because people love it and it's fun. And I'll go right out and I'll sing in people's faces in the audience. But yeah, we wrote this song to go. We were doing the Road to Memphis, which is the competition that lets you whoever wins that is sent to the International Blues Challenge in Memphis. That's usually at the end of January. And we were fortunate enough to be selected for the Ottawa contingency with the Ottawa Blues Society. They sent us down. And it was great. And we wanted, okay, some new material, right? Let's write something new for this event. And I remembered being at Blues Fest when I was about 17 or 18 and seeing Shamika Copeland for the first time.
Wow.
And it was awesome. Like jaw dropping. I was like, I want to do that, you know? And I remember at one point she was singing and she came and she walked right in the aisle and there's no microphone and there was thousands and thousands of people and you could hear a pin drop. It was awesome. And I thought it was this song, the I'm getting old child. I thought that's what she was singing.
Okay.
Then when I was looking for that song, I couldn't find it. So I was like, okay, I guess my memory is not as sharp as I thought it might be. So I was like, okay, I can't find that song, but it's a good song. So I'll write this song. And then I ended up finding what it came from. And it was In the Ghetto. In the ghetto song. And it's kind of similar. So I could see like, oh, okay, that's where it came from. But anyways, we ended up putting the song together and it's a story about, you know, getting older, but everything that you do in your life was worth it. And you wouldn't want to change anything, right, you know, live your life to the fullest so that you don't feel like you need to change anything. So.
Yeah. You want to go back. Whatever you did is done.
Exactly.
I also saw you play some covers. You did a really great cover of Fleetwood Mac. But not the late Fleetwood Mac, the one with Peter Grimm, you know, in the late 60s, 70s. That was a great song. For people, Fleetwood Mac in the 60s, 70s has nothing to do with the late Fleetwood Mac because that guitar player was young, but great guitar player. For me, is one of the best of that.
Oh, yeah. And that's like the riff kind of thing. It's just got that energy and everything.
I love that.
It's such a fun kind of cheeky song, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That was a great cover I heard.
Thank you.
So many songs that we could talk about, but there is also between those two, there is like a small, like it's not an EP, it's three songs that you put out. I don't know. They were not singles. They were all together. No, they came in.
So those we were working on them right before the pandemic hit. And we had gotten the three tracks down and we were going to work on the rest of the album. So we were planning on releasing an album that year, but we couldn't jam anymore because Adam's immunocompromised and he was very much in full lockdown. So we didn't jam for almost a year and it was awful. We tried to do it over Zoom and, you know, there's a lag and it doesn't work, but we still song wrote, you know, like we'd go with our ideas and go back and forth and we're still able to write songs, but we weren't able to finish our recording the way that we do, because like I said, we write together. But we had those three tracks. So we went to our engineer that we did our first album and then most recent album. We went to Dean Watson and said, look, we have these tracks. We were going to go into the studio and do them, but we have them down from just our home studio. Can you mix them up nicely for us? So at least we can release something. It'd be fun to have some tunes up there, you know? So he graciously did that for us and we were able to do a super short EP. I don't know if it counts as an EP if it's three songs.
Mini EP.
Mini, yeah.
Mini EP.
Mini, yeah.
I was going to talk about, before I forget, when you are on stage and you're singing, are you a lyric forgetter? Do you forget some of your lyrics? You make up words just to make a rhyme if you don't remember, or it doesn't happen to you?
Not generally, but don't get me wrong. I have learned to master the art of just like the random gibberish until I get to the next line.
Okay.
And no one usually notices. If you do it with like conviction, you're like, what was that line? don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah. They're not paying that much attention, you know?
Yeah. Just, like, oh, you messed up the words.
Yeah. What are you doing? So also you got a good record collection then, a vinyl. You love vinyl, right? It's one of your favorite music formats, I guess. The best for you or one of the best?
Well, you know what? It's only been in the last, maybe 7 or 8 years or so that I got a record player, and, you know, it was an old school from the 70s, but the stylus kept going on me, right? I needed the amp to go through the amp and everything. And it was, it was really tricky. But I started getting, like, friends of ours in town have record shops, and, you know, people would be getting rid of their old vinyls and like, oh, Ange, do you want to go through them? And I found some awesome, like, Bill Withers in there. Oh, I have a killer BB King album that I got. And like, people just, oh, absolutely, I want these, you know? So when my record player started giving me a really hard time, I caved and I got one of the new ones. Okay. And they're Bluetooth. They're super easy. Yeah. They're awesome. And it's like, it sounds great. So now I can, you know, set up my system and everything and still listen. And so it's pretty awesome.
And you listen to whole albums, not just one or a couple of songs and that's it. You don't choose the songs. You listen to the whole album.
I really do. And that's what I really love, listening to a full album, because, you know, artists, especially back when, I mean, people are doing new vinyls now, don't get me wrong, but back when vinyls were the thing, artists spent a lot of time placing the songs in a certain order to have a feel, right? It ebbs and flows, and they intended you to experience those different flows in the song energies, right? Whereas now everything is just on playlists. So you get one track and one track and one track, which I guess has its positive things too, because there's a lot of bands that I found that I would never have found if it wasn't popped into a playlist, right?
Right.
But then there is those times where I really do like listening to a full album and I know, okay, oh, side one's done. And, okay, get it to the other side quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, but...
Yeah, I don't like, I don't know, sometimes it happens when I'm listening to an album and then all of a sudden it jumps to a different, they don't go in order. I don't like that. Oh, I wanted to hear 1, 2, 3. I don't want to hear 1 and then blasphemy. 6 and then 4. It makes no sense to me either.
So, for sure.
If we go into your record collection, even digital or whatever, CDs or whatever, not cassettes or whatever. I got so much stuff in my boxes that I don't take out, but I have everything. I got cassettes, I got CDs, I got some A-tracks, which I don't even have a player, but I still have them. But so if we go into your record collection, Angelina, what type of music will we find the most? What genre?
Blues? Blues and classic rock, like with that bluesy kind of edge. I mean, I have Jimi Hendrix is one of my favorites. I have a couple of Jimi Hendrix vinyls. Like I said, I have some BB King. I have a couple of Janis Joplin's. Obviously, I love Janis and her loud grit. I even have some newer blues. Like I have the new, it's not so new anymore, but the Gary Clark Jr.
Oh, Gary Clark.
Vinyl. It's awesome. It's super awesome.
Call that like modern blues? Some people call it modern blues. I don't know what if it's.
Yeah, contemporary blues, modern blues.
Yeah.
I guess if I were to try to say what my favorite is right now, like I absolutely love Marcus King. And that's modern blues, right? Especially his new album, Young Blood, is very kind of gritty and riff rocky kind of, you know. So it's got a little bit more of that energy, but it's just so, so awesome. I love Tedeschi Trucks Band. Oof.
I don't know that about that band.
Tedeschi Trucks.
No,
so it's Susan Tedeschi, who has amazing, amazing voice, and she is a killer guitarist as well. And she married Derek Trucks, who was in the Allman Brothers.
Oh, okay.
And so they were both doing their own thing. And then I guess at one point, Derek had said, you know what? Why don't we start our own band together? It's like, but we both have our careers going. They said, like, just let's try it. And they have this huge band with like the huge horn section and all of the doo-wop singers. And it's just, it's the best show I have ever seen live. That is the epitome of like that feeling that you feel like you're part of it, you know?
I gotta find out about them. I had no idea, you know. I mean, so many genres that I follow, it's hard to follow, you know.
You can't get all of them. Sure.
Yeah. You know, I like, you know, Joe Bonamassa and Kenny Way Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys I know. And Eric Gales that I know. But it's hard. Yeah, so much. Absolutely. So much available out there. It's like Angelina Hunter Trio, you know. It's just a coincidence that you find these bands that I have no idea. And they're great, but unless they knock on the door and show me the record, it's very hard to find, you know, about them or about any other bands like that.
And that's the thing, too, because there's no big record labels that are pushing the same 30 bands like they did before, right? There's so much music that, you know, there's so many great bands you can see. And you were saying Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah.
He does a lot of great stuff with Beth Hart.
Ooh, yeah, Beth Hart.
Those two together sound amazing. I mean, you're right. There's so many good, amazing artists out there to watch. Yeah,
there's so many good blues and rock musicians that, you know, it seems like a lot of people, they don't know. They don't know. I like everything, but so much music I enjoy, you know. So, I was going to ask you, how is the music scene in Ottawa? Is there a lot of clubs, venues, medium and small that you can play, or it's not that many anymore?
You know what? We were talking about that last night, and it's super unfortunate because every time we turn around, another venue is closing or they're going to DJs instead, or they're, you know, having bands play super early and then going to DJs in the evenings. And it's like, but live music is so great. Don't get rid of all the venues. There's not enough already, right? So we really want to try to hold on to them. But I mean, there used to be so many more. There used to be Barrymore's, which was the huge theater that was turned into a music hall. That was my favorite spot to play. That was epic, like so great. It had all the balconies and all everything. And then there was Capital City Music Hall that they used to have. That was, you know, an awesome, like mid-sized big venue and all of these, but now they've all closed down and it's really tricky.
Yeah, it's hard. Even around here where I live in New Jersey, it's not that many clubs anymore.
No.
Not that many places that a lot of bands can play anymore. But like you said, they close down. I'm getting old myself, but I'm still.
Yeah, hopefully that'll change, you know, like when the economy kicks back in and hopefully, you know, it gets a new uptake. That would be so, so great.
Yeah.
I think people are valuing the arts and entertainment because we didn't have it for so long. So I'm really hoping for that, you know, switch.
Yeah.
And that people don't go back to just like, oh, well, whatever, we're going to be boring and not go see anything artistic.
No, I love going to shows. I do. Sometimes I feel old, you know, when I see all the other young guys. I'm like, I'm the oldest guy in the room. I seem like, maybe I should stop listening to heavy metal.
No, never. That's the whole point. You're never too old for music.
I know.
And it doesn't matter which age group. You know, everyone. What were they saying the other day? Oh, I was talking and I was saying the musicians, the people who get along best with musicians are other musicians, right? And the same with music lovers and like your avid going to concert goers. Like they have a crew that they tend to go and see concerts with, and you'll run into people that you've met at festivals or at concerts, and they, you know, they become like, we call it our blues buddies that we go check out shows with, you know?
Yeah. So if you go in and look in your contacts, do you have more musician friends than regular friends? Like they're not into music? I guess if you have the closest friends, are they musicians? Let's say.
Yes, I would say that they are. But we lived in a band house with a Bluestone band, a band that I had with my brother, Ben. And so we'd often have all of our buddies would come to the Bluestone house to hang out, and we'd have parties. And like I said, a bunch of our friends, they play guitar. So they might not be, you know, professional musicians, but there's a lot of musicians in that gang. So we'd be jamming and singing along and doing all this stuff.
It's gotta be fun. I got to stop by Ottawa, find out.
You definitely do. You got to come. When you do come over, we'll
hang
out.
I don't know how to play anything. I'm really bad at any instrument. I love music, so I think it counts. It counts.
Put on a private show in the studio. We have a jam room downstairs. So
that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. So, tell me, I guess I found out about the band. I don't know if it was Spotify, YouTube, whatever, but they got a website, AngelinaHunterTrio.com. That's where you can find most of their info, I guess, if you want to go over there. Yeah. And there is links to everything they have available online. And
Our music is all up there, and we just released our new vinyl, so you can order our vinyl through that too. Mostly we're selling them at shows, but like you said, everything's available on Spotify and on YouTube Music and all of that as well. But
I was going to ask you.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so easy now if you want to listen to both of the records and the mini EP. Is available. You can listen. And if you don't think it's good, then you're not a good. You don't have any taste. Okay? no good taste in music. So, I was going to ask you before I forget. Do you think the modern blues musicians or rock musicians, do they play less solos than the bands from the 70s or 80s? Do you think they play less? There are less solos, a little more restrained.
Not the modern blues artists that I listen to.
Okay.
Like, you know, like Joe Bonamassa will solo till the cows come. Same with Marcus King. You know, he'll just go to town. I don't have any songs that we play live that are not shorter than 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, because it just keeps, you know, the flow goes, right?
Of course. It's like a blues song cannot be three minutes. That's
impossible.
It's impossible.
That's the intro. Like,
you know? It's just heating up. It's starting up. But you crank it up and it's 3 minutes already. So
I don't think, I think the really, really polished, more commercial things that are designed to cross over to other, you know, genres that will, you know, that will get a little bit more of the adult contemporary, or that will also go on the kind of more poppy or the like, even, you know, with blues, some styles go on a little bit of the like kind of country-ish side. The ones that are kind of polished to go everywhere, I find they'll scale down the solos because they want it to be more commercial and a little bit more, across the board.
You explained it really well. That's what I was trying to say, but I couldn't find the right words.
That's,
you're correct. So tell me, Angelina, before we stop the interview, not because I don't enjoy it, you know, but it's a Saturday. Saturday night, you know, I'm not going anywhere to tell you the truth right now, but they're going back an hour, I think, in Canada also, as in the United States.
Oh yeah, it's my favorite. I wish they would just keep it at this time all the time. My favorite when I get the clock changed. Yes.
So you're going to sleep an hour more unless you go out, and there's no time.
Yeah, so, the extra hour.
What other things keep you busy besides playing music, you know, the other chores or duties that you have? Is there anything that, I don't think it's going to be more enjoyable than playing music, but what other things do you have that take a lot of hours of your days?
There are a lot of, I'm very artistic, so I like doing artistic kind of things. Like I like to paint and whatnot. I like being outside. So there's a huge forest right near my house. There's a million paths in it. I like so many. So I'll often go biking back in there, and it's a lot of fun to do that. I love kickboxing. And when during the lockdown, we couldn't obviously go kickboxing. So I taught Sandy how to kickbox and he ended up being super awesome because he's a drummer and he's crazy coordinated. I was like, do you have any idea how long it took me to learn how to do this? And he just, no problem, does it. So I really like doing that too.
No injuries, right?
We don't hurt each other.
Not like jujitsu and things like that. No.
Yeah, but just for fun. But yeah, I guess the most part, you know, like with life and like, you know, the balance between home life and then working, because I work full time during the day too, and then doing the band, like that really takes a lot of you know, coordinating already. So there's really not that much to do, like a million other things, because it's nice to just be able to chill sometimes too, you know?
That's cool. Do you have a lot of songs like in the in a drawer somewhere, or do you got some recorders like
in the vaults?
Yeah, like you don't want to lose them.
Oh yeah, I have my my voice recorder on my phone. I have so many little snippets of ideas. Okay. And I remember one time I thought that I had lost all of my little snips, and I was devastated. I was like so upset about it. I was like, we got to find these clips. Yeah. Ended up that they were somewhere in a cloud, and I got them back. But I was like, oh, that's too many ideas on there that I still want to put together. You know, I'm like, this is a good one. This is a good one. And they end up coming together.
I mean, so. It's much easier now than before. Now you got a phone, you can record things, little things. Before, you have to write them down and stuff. Now it's so easy, you know.
I have a piece of paper beside my bed too, so sometimes I'll have an idea and I'll wake up and I'll just like jot it down. It's all written in weird chicken scratch because it's dark, but at least I'm like, oh yeah, otherwise I'll forget for sure, you know?
Yeah, maybe and the next day you look at it and say, well, it ain't that good. What happened?
No, sometimes it really isn't. But I'll record a little bit and like, okay, no, but I understood the idea of it, but you can develop them sometimes. Sometimes you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Hopefully I can see your band play someday. You never know.
That would be super great. If we come to New Jersey.
It's not, it ain't that far. I was going to go to Canada this summer. And then, you know, because of those fires and stuff, I was like, maybe I should wait. But I love Canada. I don't like the winter. I don't know how cold it is today in Ottawa. Here it's very good. It's 53 degrees. I don't know the temperature over there right now, but the winter.
It was nice today. It was nice out today. Nice also. And it was like warm and sunny, you know what I mean? But it's definitely the fall. Hmm. But I mean, last week, the day before Halloween, I woke up and there was snow everywhere. Like walking in a winter wonderland. What is going on? It's not even Halloween. But it was too soon, and it melted by the end of the day there. But so yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming soon. Well, it was a pleasure talking to Angelina. Let me tell you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
I wish we can talk again soon, or maybe next year. You never know. Maybe there's a new record coming out. Maybe she has something good. If it's good as, you know, as the new album, Let Us Lie, it's good enough for me. Can be any word. It's got to be at least the like that or better, you know.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? Better. If I start writing on some new tracks and I have little ideas, I'll send you a few snippets.
Yeah, I'll give you my ideas, which means nothing, but you know,
perfect.
At least I could say they're great. Don't touch them. They're perfect. They're good.
Great. We'll give you writing credits on the album.
Yeah. Perfect. Don't put a photo of me because then nobody's gonna buy the album if they see my face. I really enjoy talking to Angelina. She's great. They got a great band, which I suggest you people listening and seeing me, because it's going to be a podcast of the interview anyway. So take a look. Angelina Hunter Trio.
Great. And like I said, we're up for a possible award. We're nominated. So if you check out the Maple Blues Awards, the public voting has started.
Oh, so the public can vote?
For not all the categories, but for our category, they could vote. So if you enjoy what you hear, please do.
Some people from Madagascar or South Africa or Kenya, who knows? Maybe somebody over there can.
It's a big world.
It's a big world out there, you know?
Yeah. Music is universal.
Of course. So anybody can vote, I guess. I could vote. I had no idea. I'm going to vote right now.
Great. Thank you.
That's it. I'm going to vote for them because I don't know any other bands from Ottawa. I don't know if I know, but for me, it's them. Great band. What else? Should I look for more? No. That's all I need. So thank you very much. Thanks to Angelina. And see you next week with some other, nothing good, nothing better than Angelina, but you know, you can still watch it.